And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, good morning to you. 6 minutes past nine. It's actually 5 minutes past nine. My apologies. And it's Thursday, the 11th of April, 2024. And you welcome along to another edition of the 9 till noon show. Loads coming up for you over the next 3 hours. We want your involvement in the conversation and raising your own issues and topics and passing on your own information. Good news as well, of course, by the way. We love that. And you can WhatsApp it to us, 086 60 25000. And you can WhatsApp your voice notes as well to us if that suits you better. 086 60 25000, that's the SMS number as well. If you want to give us a call, it's 07491 25000, and it's emails to comments@highlandradio.com. Let's look at the papers this morning. It's busy as it always is on a Thursday. The Tyrconnell Tribune this morning. The EU election campaign is set to move up a notch with speculation that former Dragons' Den star Peter Casey's about to join the battle in a bid to win a seat in this sprawling five-seat constituency. Mr Casey was in Remelton at the weekend to support Councillor Pádraig McGarvey's election campaign, and he would not confirm officially that he was entering the race. "But I'm not ruling anything out," he told the Tribune. However, sources close to him said he is a definite runner, but he's seeking an opportune time to make his declaration. In the climate of politics, where the government parties were so heavily whacked in the two referendums, there is the possibility that voter fatigue with the current government could see many voters turn to independent candidates. Peter Casey could easily be the choice for many of those disillusioned voters. A recent opinion poll suggests that 3 out of every 5 people believe the country has taken in too many Ukrainian refugees. 62% are of that view, while another 20% are neutral, with only 3% saying that Ireland must continue to take in refugees. But it'll be interesting in that, I suppose, when he ran for office the last time, he maybe was seen as something of an outlier in his views. But what we're seeing now is that the main political parties are perhaps coming closer to what his views might be in relation to a lot of maybe the issues that he might be talking about. Interesting times. The Donegal News this morning: a mother whose teenage daughter has a progressive disease has told a public meeting in Letterkenny she's very concerned proposed assisted dying legislation will lack safeguards. The woman, whose daughter is just a teenager, spoke at a packed public meeting in the Mount Errigal on Tuesday night. The event was organised by a group of local doctors and medical professionals who are opposed to any such legislation. The Joint Directors Committee on Assisted Dying has recommended the government introduce legislation to allow for assisted dying in certain restricted circumstances. "My daughter is 19. She's an adult with a progressive disease. She lives with chronic pain, but she's not let this dampen her will to live," the worried mum said. "My concern as her mother is for the regulation of this legislation. How are they going to regulate it mental health wise?" she asks. "How are they going to determine that a person wishes to die by assisted suicide and that they aren't suffering from depression, which can be treated?" Another question she posed to that meeting. The Derry News this morning: a young Derry mother fleeing domestic violence had her hospital records accessed by an unauthorised Western Health and Social Care Trust staff member. The woman, who wished to remain anonymous, received written confirmation of the data breach from WHSCT Chief Executive Neil Guckian. In his letter of apology, Mr Guckian confirmed to the woman her medical records had been unlawfully accessed by a member of her ex-partner's family, who was a trust employee. It's worrying that that could happen, but it was picked up. On to the Irish Independent now, and cancer patients in need of time-critical surgeries have suffered cancellations due to hospital overcrowding, a leading medical expert warned yesterday. And this is something we knew anyway, but I think the fact that it was put on the record and the Oireachtas Committee means it's worth mentioning again. Professor John Kennedy, an oncologist at St James Hospital, also said that a number of radiotherapy machines were lying idle due to a lack of specialised staff. He added that only 2% of cancer patients in Ireland had access to clinical trials, when the figure should be as high as 10%, but doctors who want to carry them out are caught up in red tape. "The real hallmark of excellent service is having plenty of clinical trials available for patients. We have enormous problems doing it, and the regulatory environment oppressive, Professor Kennedy said. But I know for a fact there's going to be people listening to us who are cancer patients who have had surgeries cancelled, and they're often called elective surgeries, which kind of sort of suggests it's, you know, getting rid of an ingrown toenail or something, the elective surgery sort of description. But no, often it can be very, very important interventions and surgeries. If you're affected by that, please feel free to get in contact with us. The Irish Times this morning: Ireland is to overhaul its asylum system after the European Parliament approved a new policy to harden the bloc's borders after years of deadlock. The International Protection Act 2015 will be repealed, Minister for Justice Helen McEntee said yesterday, and new legally binding timeframes for making decisions on international protection applications and appeals will be introduced. It's no coincidence, by the way, that this has been talked about for years and years and years. And as we approach the European elections, all of a sudden, people have got to move on to introduce this. There are mixed views as to whether or not this improves the situation in Ireland or, in fact, makes it worse. The measures have been criticised by, and I can only describe it like this for the purpose of the description, the far right and the far left. So those that are liberal are critical of it. Those that want tighter borders are critical of it as well. We read that there'll be greater focus on efficient returns for unsuccessful applicants and accelerated processes for those from safe countries or those with no documentation or false papers. The European Parliament vote, which was opposed by Sinn Féin, allows for more people to be detained in facilities at borders and allows countries to make financial contributions in lieu of taking in asylum seekers. And just listening to Ms. McEntee's comments this morning, I thought it quite interesting in that she said this would sort of go some way to addressing the problem of people arriving here without documentation. And it's not that long ago that we were being told that there wasn't really an issue with people arriving here with no documentation. And now the government themselves are saying that this will help in that regard. Ms. McEntee said the vote marked a historic step which provides a robust legislative framework to address migration and asylum across the EU. She described it as a shared European solution to a shared European challenge. We'll talk about that, of course. What interests me, though, is that where does Ireland sit in this? Because there is a part of this, and I'd be interested to ask someone who knows, part of this is that you really are, it's supposed to mean that it's easy to get you back to the country that you first arrived in. So if someone arrived in Spain, sought asylum there, but ended over in Ireland seeking asylum, then it would be easier to send that person back to Spain, which was the first border call. But there's very few direct flights from an awful lot of places that people might be fleeing into Ireland. And I'm sure our European neighbours have discussed that, because theoretically, if this were to be enforced to the letter of the law, the fact that we are an island nation with not as many direct flights as others, or easier access by sea, that we could be an advantage in terms of numbers. But I haven't heard or seen that addressed anywhere, and I can't imagine we're going to be led away with that. So that's worth digging into a little bit more as well. Irish Daily Mail now this morning: Gardaí are policing almost twice the number of cars and vehicles as there were 15 years ago. Since 2009, the number of Gardaí dedicated to road policing has declined from a high of 1,046 to 647 this year, a drop of 399. In the same period, the number of licensed vehicles on the roads has risen by at least 440,000, from 2.46 million in 2009 to over 2.9 million now. That means that while there was one Garda for every 2,351 vehicles on the roads in 2009, each officer is now responsible for 4,832 vehicles. Now, I don't think each guard's responsible for those vehicles. I'm not here to sort of advocate on behalf of the Gardaí, but I think it's more than the roads policing that actually enforce, you know, the rules of the road and what have you. But that being said, it's still notable that the amount of traffic cops, so to speak, has reduced while the amount of cars has increased significantly. But I'm sure it's across the forward front, across the force, frontline Gardaí are involved in administering the laws. Road Safety Authority Chief Executive Liz O'Donnell said the 40% reduction in dedicated road police since 2009 was not acceptable. Okay, I think Drew Harris wants 18,000 guards. We're well short of that. The Farmers Journal: heavy rain and delayed turn out have started to impact the cattle trade with a marked drop in cattle prices over the last 2 weeks. Analysis of Irish Farmers Journal Martbids data shows that average quality 500 kg to 600 kg heifers have fallen from 303 a kilogram in mid-March to 287 last week, a drop of 88 euro head, not insignificant. Speaking to the Irish Farmers Journal, Kilkenny Mart's George Candler said, empty silage pits, full slurry tanks and waterlogged fields on farms across the country are not helping confidence in the cattle trade. I'm a little bit ignorant here. I would have thought that would... Is that about the quality of the cattle? Presumably. Okay, on to the Star now. The government was paying up to 1 million euro a month to accommodate the pets of Ukrainian refugees in hotels and other state-funded properties during the first year of the country's conflict with Russia. The Department of Integration picked up the tab for the accommodation of animals that had made the journey to Ireland with their owners and also for pets that refugees had acquired since arriving here. So even if you didn't bring a pet to Ireland, if you got a pet, the government, i.e. us, was still paying for it. Now, in terms of accommodating them, were the pets not kept with their owners? Were they in separate accommodation? At the peak of the practice in November 22, 1,806 pets were staying in state-funded accommodation for Ukrainian beneficiaries of temporary protection. These included 933 dogs, 819 cats. 54 of the animals were categorised as others. It cost up to 20 euro a night for each of the animals, according to records obtained by the Star, at which rate the monthly bill for accommodating the pets of Ukrainians, BOTPs, would have been just over 1 million. A spokesperson for the department said the precise figure could not be supplied because the invoices issued by accommodation providers did not categorise between BOTPs and pets. What's a BOTP? I haven't a clue. I'll have to I'll figure it out. So the they were being kept in the premises that they were staying, but the people that own the premises were charging the government for a pet accommodation for the pets. So they were, from my reading of that, it seems like I would have thought if there was a bill like that, it would be because they were in kennels or some other separate accommodation until such time as they could be with their owners. But that sounds to me like the people that provide the accommodation were being paid extra to accommodate the pets to the tune of a million a month. A million a... How much was it? A million a month. Surely, would that have been happening? Is that happening? If they were in the hotel room or other type of accommodation, there was extra money paid for the pets. The Irish Sun this morning, RTE staff must declare any gifts worth between 50 and 100 euros part of the ongoing cleanup. The register of gifts affects employees and contractors working for the broadcaster. Director General Kevin Backhurst yesterday emailed workers about the change. He told them they must fill out a form after receiving a present, giving them a realistic valuation of between 15 and 100 euro. And Mr. Backhurst warned, any gift with a realistic valuation of over 100 euro should not be accepted, or if it must be accepted, then is declared and becomes the property of RTE. So car deals and all those type of things are going to become more complicated. And lastly, this morning, the Mirror, Sinn Féin blasted new Taoiseach Simon Harris's absence from the Dáil yesterday afternoon because he was too busy taking calls from world leaders. Opposition parties criticised the government for voting through changes to the Dáil order of business for yesterday, which means that leaders' questions was among the items dropped from the schedule. Government Chief Whip Hildegard Nocton said Mr. Harris was unable to take leaders' questions as he had to conduct phone calls with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak, as well as Northern Ireland First Minister Michelle O'Neill and Deputy First Minister Emma Little-Pengelly. I mean, he said he was going to hit the ground running. I think if Mary Lou McDonald becomes leader of this country, she's going to take some time out to accept the congratulations of world leaders. I think that's a bit of a, what's that word people use now? Nothing burger. But anyway, it is what it is. So there's two annoying phrases. We were talking about that, Lee, to Lee just before 9 o'clock. Apparently it was must have been a world annoying phrases day. If there are any words or phrases that you hear regularly, last time I asked this, I got a right hammering. But if there are any phrases or words that you hear generally in society, please don't make it all about me. Let us know if you could consign a phrase or a word to the stockpile of non-used words. Let us know what it might be. 086 60 25,000, that is the WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call on 074 91 25,000. Good morning to Marie and Kathy. They are amongst the hundreds of people watching the show across our media social media channels this morning. Just to remind you, you can watch the programme on your large smart TV or your Fire Stick on the YouTube app, Highland Radio Ireland, and we're on Facebook as well, Highland Hub, Highland News and Sport. Damien O'Brien is from Donegal but living out in Australia. He's with us now. Hi, Damien.
Hey, how's it going, big man?
Not too bad at all. Thanks for joining us. Okay, so is it your Facebook account that got hacked, Damien? And tell us what happened.
Basically, I got a request from a friend, and I was stupid on my part because I didn't realize, you know, to go back in and check to say, look, is it affecting you here? But I got a message from, as I said, from a friend to say, go and send me a code there from your phone, because I can't get into my messenger. Without even thinking, I just sent the code. And within 3-5 seconds, I was just frozen out of the account. And they're just scamming people ever since. I can't get into it. I reported it to Facebook. As soon as I put up an ad on that page, and it's under Maverick O'Brien, that's the page that they're scamming out of. And they're selling Taylor Swift tickets. They're selling Liverpool match day tickets. They're just selling everything that can get high octane money off it, and it's a shame really, because I rang the Letterkenny Garda station to see if their fraud squad could get onto it. Maybe they could get onto the bank, you know, to see if that account can be frozen or whatever, but nothing seems to be can be done about it, you know, unless Facebook itself, and there's no direct line to Facebook, like a phone number, you know, so unless people individually reports it in a Facebook, hopefully pick it up and they'll block.
Yeah, the line's actually really quite poor, but effectively what happened, these scammers, obviously, the recovery code that was sent to you, you've passed on to them, and that's how they accessed your account. You've got quite a number of friends and connections on Facebook, so if they post an advert and people do what they might see as a bit of due diligence, it looks legit. And that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, see, that's like, because you have a mutual friend. So, like, I had, you know, 1,000 people there. Like, I know so many people. I don't want to say I'm popular, but I know a lot of people. And, you know, and sometimes you have just mutual friends of mutual friends, and you just think automatically, oh, well, if he's friends with my friend, he must be okay. And then they look through the site and they see me selling something, or they're like, oh, well, again, it just looks legit, you know, so. And I hate to say this, but we all know not to hand money over. So people that don't know me personally, or I don't know anybody personally, I wouldn't hand over the guts of 700 euros or 1,000 euros, never mind even 50 or 100 euros, never mind that kind of money. So it's just for people out there listening, do your due diligence on it, and just don't, unless you're meeting the person in chat, you know, in person, don't be handing out any kind of money at all, even if it's only 50 euros or, you know, or 700 euros of this matter, because you can, there's signs there that you can tell that it's a fake account, you know, of like, if someone says, give me an example, right, e-tickets for a concert in Dublin, all right, nice one, oh, I'm in Letterkenny, oh, well, send me a deposit, you know, and say, well, I have a sister in Dublin, well, they'll come and meet you. Automatically, they'll just say, oh, no, I can't because I'm away. Right, that's red flags, you know. So there's just small little signs to me personally.
All right, stay where you are, because obviously you're here trying to avoid people being scammed out of money, but there's reputational damage to you as well, because, you know, people might think that you are willfully engaged in this activity. You're in Australia, but your family's here as well. Teresa is Damien's sister, and Teresa's with us as well. As I say, I understand where Damien's coming from in trying to warn people off these scams in general, but it's damaging, I suppose, the O'Brien name too as well, and you're getting the brunt of that, Teresa.
Yeah, good morning. Yes, we are. A few friends of mine have contacted us to say that Damien has selling tickets, and he goes, no, his account has been frozen. And like, as I say, there are a lot of people getting on to me, just people messaging me, do I know this person? I've been scammed. And we're trying, do you know what? It's actually so bad on our behalf, because we're sitting going, he's gone, that account's closed. Mm. It's a scam. And we're trying to warn people. And then friends of mine and cousins, like, they're actually coming, no text, and saying, oh, they're at it again. So we've actually warned people, look, if you see it, just write under it, it's a scam, report it. It's really bad on us. It is bad on us, because you're thinking, oh, my God, like, Damien O'Brien is scamming people, or O'Brien's is scamming people. We're not. We're just trying to warn people. Please be very, very careful.
Yeah, the majority of people are going to know that it's got nothing to do with you guys. It's literally scammers. They're all over the place. And I mean, obviously, your sister also nearly fell victim to a scam on a Facebook selling page as well.
Yeah. That's correct. She was actually on Facebook and seen garden furniture, outdoor furniture for sale, and like that too. Yeah, we'll buy it. We'll collect it this evening, and the person that was selling it says, oh, we need a deposit. So she says, no, I'll just pay when I get there. I'll lift it this evening, and like that, oh, I'll get back to you later on. And as the evening came, then she tried to message them again to say, well, we'll come this evening to pick it up, to realise she was blocked. And then the next day, the thing was up again, and the following day, so we're just like that too, we just write under it, that's the scam. And the last day, there was a few more people had commented under it. Yeah, I was nearly caught as well, looking for a deposit.
Yeah.
And they were sitting there going, like, no, we'll pay on arrival. But no, they weren't here until it. When they realised that they weren't getting any deposits, then they were blocked.
And just to be clear, because this is not automated, it's clever. Non-collection, can delivery of local, serious buyers only, full set. It's just over a year old with no scratches, stains or dents. It's really lovely. Comes with egg chair, full corner sofa, table, stools and cushions and a full product. And on it goes and on it goes. You can see how you could fall for it. It looks completely legit, doesn't it, in terms of how it's worded or stuff. It's not saying it's brand new, you know, we won it and we're trying to give it away. It's got a decent story that you think, right, this is legit.
Yeah, you look at it and you think it's legit, you're thinking that's grand. I'll put it at the side of the house, or I'll put it at the back of the house, or I'll have it in the garden. And then when you go on to inquire into it, if the text is all legit, seems legit. And when they say, oh, well, I'll pick it up, then next thing then they ask for deposit.
Yeah,
and when you decline then the deposit, that's you're blocked.
Yeah, and also too, what people have to be very careful when they post on these buy and sell websites is that it starts off often as a missing dog or something, and loads of people share and become friends with these people because they think, oh my word, a poor doggy, let's get the doggy home. And then later that day, they change the profile and then they start posting these adverts, and they've already been shared amongst a whole friends network previously as a dog, missing dog or something along those lines, but now it's one of these scams. Damien, you're having no luck with Facebook at all. Like, are people reporting it and not reporting it and saying that this is a site impersonating you, or that you've been hacked or locked out of your account? Facebook aren't taking them on at all.
No, they're not. Even like, I'm in Perth here now, and there's people being scammed in Sydney. Like, I set up a page for helping Irish move to Australia called Paddy Connect. And they're just coming on to me and they're going, you've just scammed me out of tickets for concerts in Sydney. Like, so they've obviously come on to my site and Paddy Connect, you know, because it's, you know, associated with Maverick, you know, and they're just trying hard, you know, and it's really unfair, you know, that Facebook's not picking it up. Yeah. You know, considering all the and with all my friends and everybody, as Teresa says there, hi Teresa. You know, right and under this attack, they have the power to take away that comment in a second. You know what I mean? So even though that I would write, or they have me blocked on it from the Paddy Connect site, so they just take down your comment that you have brought it up, that it's hacked, or this is a hacked account, and then anybody that makes that, I'm seeing anybody that makes a comment on that Maverick O'Brien site.
Right, well, let's try something here. Let's try something here. A lot of listeners are on Facebook. You know, and I think if 50 of the listeners to this show even took part in this, it might help. If they search out Maverick O'Brien profile, okay, and report it, they'll probably have mutual friends because we're a small enough old region in the Northwest. Let's see if and I'll do it during the next break, that a lot of us report this as a scam page or as an impersonation page to Facebook. Well, like, I'm asking people listening here, get out your phone on Facebook, put in Maverick O'Brien, and obviously, is it easy? How do we know it's the right Maverick O'Brien? Is there many Maverick O'Briens on Facebook?
Yeah, well, I noticed that there was two Maverick O'Briens. One's got over 1,000 friends. I think it's 1,100 or something, and the other one's got 27 friends. So you'll know the one that's and it's a picture of a wee dog and a baby on the picture.
Right. Okay. I'm doing this.
And I'm assuming there'll be a lot of mutual friends.
I've got 42 mutual friends with you. Right. Okay. I am literally reporting this now as we speak. Where do we do? Report profile. I'm doing my best for you, Damien. Therese, I'm trying my best. It's pretending to be someone, okay? So I've clicked pretending to be someone.
Yeah.
A friend. This is where it starts getting complicated now because I'm trying to search you, but yours is the one that's been hacked. I'll figure this out. We'll do fake account. All right, I'm going to go fake account. Submit. And away we go. Right, okay. So open up your phone. Get Maverick O'Brien on Facebook. It's a wee baby beside a dog. Report profile. And let's see, if 50 of us do it, maybe they'll... I've done it now, so we'll see what happens. All right, Damien, stop helping people move from Donegal to Australia, please. We want to keep people at home. I'm only messing you, I know. Is there a ton of people from the Northwest over there now, Damien?
There's so many people from Donegal here. Like, I have a page there with 7,000 people. Even if you go on TikTok there and just look up Paddy Connect, there's 100 questions that you want sitting at home as far as visas, accommodation, you know, what age, you know, like there's consultancy people out there that's charging you €500 just to go on the phone for a half an hour consultation fee. And I'm like, look, I'll do it for free. It's better that you have somebody that is one of your own. And if you can ask me 100 questions, and if it helps you know, to take the contents of your house over, your car over, rather, because there's so much expense associated coming over here. So if you can cut half of the cost, you know, by coming over here and putting you in contact with people that has accommodation houses, you know, realtors, you can set up a bank account before you come over here, rather, so you can hit the groundwork, or, you know, running before, you know, to get working. PPS numbers, like it's a tax file numbers, you know, there's just so many things that you can do from home that you can, rather than coming over, because it's expensive over here.
Yeah, okay.
You know, and there's a whole panic mode when you come over here and you try and get into a hostel or you try and get into
if you take out the sun, right, you have to go over there and graft. Is it much better? Because, you know, obviously you're away from your family and you're away from your infrastructure and all that kind of stuff. And but I mean, at the end of the day, I've seen posts where people are effectively being put out of their accommodation and are worried that they're homeless. This is Irish in Australia, and I'm not talking about all of Australia, just one particular case. Like, is it as fantastic as it sounds?
It's just, I don't know. It's a way of life, you know. They say it's a whole different. Like, there's so much activities here, you know, for the likes of kids, like. Every 150 meters, there's nearly a park with a full, you know, well, there's only one park in Letterkenny, or two parks, sorry, you know. And it's every suburb, which is like every housing estate, nearly has their own park.
Okay.
That's for one. You're living on the coastline, you know, there's just a sunset there every day where you're just a couple of 100 meters. And even if you're not a couple of 100 meters, you're 20 minutes from the beach. You know, on the work side of things, you know, if you're working on an Irish site, you know, you're doing 10, 12 hours. You know, you're it's just, if you have a concrete pour on, say, it's just a lot harder work at home. We're here, it's an 8-hour shift, you know what I mean? And if you can do it tomorrow, let's do it tomorrow. Like, it's more based on family.
Yeah.
You know, it's not all about work, work, work.
Okay.
You know?
Well, listen, I'm going to have to cut you off there before we've no one left in Donegal, Damien. It sounds so bloody fantastic. Stay there, though, briefly. Yeah, just stay there a second, because the money's triple. Okay, that's fantastic. Any radio presenter jobs going? Jackie has reported, Bridget's reported. Thank you so very much indeed. Which account do you unfriend? Well, it's not really about unfriending, it's reporting. You unfriend the one with 1,000 friends, or report the one with 1,000 friends, or followers, sorry, not 27. So it's Maverick O'Brien. It's a picture of a dog and a baby looking at the camera. There's a car as a picture, and it's scamming people, and we all have it in our gift to keep reporting Facebook. They can't ignore it if many of us do. Damien, thank you very much indeed. Lovely chatting to you. Hopefully that gets sorted with the power of the people.
Come here. Thanks very much.
Take care. Teresa, you're not going away. You're going to stay with us here in Donegal, aren't you?
I'm still here. I'm going no road.
Good woman. All right, thanks. Listen, we'll be back with more on the 9 till noon show after we take this break. Now, Jimmy Stafford is, of course, of Highland Radio, but also operations and risk manager with Bank of Ireland. Good morning to you, Jimmy. Thanks for your time today.
Good morning, Greg.
And just as we were talking about scams, and there is a fraud awareness week ongoing at the moment, and there is a fraud awareness event taking place at Bank of Ireland Letterkenny. What's this about?
Yeah, it's an event that's been rolled out across the country, Greg, in the last few months, I suppose, since the start of the year. So it's Bank of Ireland Group Fraud. So there's about 250 working in our fraud department, which in itself tells you the extent of what's going on at the moment. And also local Gardaí here in Donegal will be in attendance tomorrow morning at 8:30. And really, the whole objective is to raise awareness. Greg, you know, yesterday alone, across the country, there were 10, what we know of, suspected investment fraud scams yesterday for customers. That's what we know of in one day alone, which
and
is
just
phenomenal.
To be, in that regard, would that be people notifying the bank that they suspected that they could be the victims of fraud, or would they be contacting the bank because the process was already underway, so to speak?
Yeah, bit of both, Greg. Right. So ones would be ones that we would intercept, and then the other ones where a customer would come in and say, I think I've sent this money and it hasn't arrived, okay, and it's gone, and I've tried to contact the person, and lo and behold, the email doesn't work, the phones don't work. So it's really, you know, Paul Wallace has been on with you many a times, now retired, talking about it, but it seems to just keep on going on and on and on. The WhatsApp scams, dear mom, dear dad, and clicking on the links. So we're just seeing it's increasing all the time, despite the level of awareness that's being put out there. And people just seem to be still clicking on links, still, you know, believing, I suppose, I was saying to Caroline, you know, you want to make that quick buck. You see a link, you click in it, and lo and behold, you're brought into another false world.
Yeah, and Jimmy, often what it is though, it's shock and awe as well. I know it's a different type of fraud, but in Damien's case there, you know, he knows what he's at, but he got a message on Messenger from a purported friend saying, listen, could you send me this number? Probably busy like we all are, you know, we're running around like cats. And he just, in an instant, sent it, and within an instant, he was locked out of his account. And they can do it the same with the fraud, because they'll ring you and say, you know, I've seen a very convincing scam where Revolut's involved, and they talk about that being compromised, and it's linked to your Bank of Ireland account, and we're going to have to get access to one to the other, or you're going to lose all your money. And it shocks people, and it's all done really quickly and really professionally. And that's what you're talking about, isn't it? Stop, think, check. You've got a team there, for an example, as most banks do. If you've got any concerns, get off the phone call, get out of the email, don't click the link, and contact your bank.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I mean, immediately, and I get called from friends and family, say, Jimmy, do I click on this? You know, you got them, Craig. I've heard you in the mornings. I've got them. Two from the on post or whoever it might be. Your parcel is ready for collection. Click on the link. I would say just don't click on the link. Just don't click on it. And then the other message, Greg, is go to whoever. Go to your local bank. If you're unsure, go in. And even going back into WhatsApp messages, Greg, you know the ones with dear mom, dear dad, I've lost my phone.
Yeah.
We've had parents who've come into a branch and say, I'm sending this money now. We're saying this is a scam. And we've had live examples where we've asked a parent to ring the child in front of us, and they ring the child and the phone is answered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's hard to believe you haven't done that before, but you get such a fright because you think your child needs money now.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get to that money straight away. So, I mean, what I would say, and I've seen friends and family, ring the number that you have for your child, and lo and behold, in 99% of the cases, the child will answer the phone. And I think that's an important one. But Greg, the key message is, as you said, stop, think and check, but go to your local bank. Go to your broker if there's an investment. I mean, we're now seeing cases, Greg, where you might have an investment online where you're dealing with a bank or a broker or whatever, and then you have forms that you email off. The fraudsters, as we know, can intercept these emails, and then they can start manipulating those emails or the forms that are in. And we've seen a couple of cases like that as well. So, you know, it's really important. And Greg, the other one that you've spoken about on your show is invoice redirection for businesses.
Yeah.
And that's a huge problem. Again, where a business has an invoice, the invoice is intercepted and they get another email back saying, we've changed bank account, can you now send the money to this bank? What I would say in that case, ring that customer.
Always
send
have
that
a phone
invoice
backup,
to you.
Don't you? Yeah. And I think it's important managers as well, isn't it, Jimmy, inform their staff, because, you know, someone in accounts, or they could be new or what have you, if there's a protocol where everything's checked by a phone as well, it kind of means that you can't get done that way. You know, providing you have a number, a legit number, not one that's included in the email, a legit number that these type of things could be checked on.
Yeah, and I think it's called a double or triple checking system, that, you know, somebody who's maybe doing the accounts in the office maybe double checks with somebody else in the office, that there's a procedure there around payments. And then somebody might say, you know, we might just double check that, and we might go back to John or Jimmy or Greg and just check, is that the right details?
Yeah.
Because that's changed and that doesn't sound right. So it's having that checking process in place.
Yep. So the event, Bank of Ireland, Letterkenny, it's at 8:30 a.m. tomorrow morning. Is it for business owners, the general public? Who's...
No. Everybody and anybody, Greg. It's all ages. I mean, the lads are going to the school as well tomorrow morning, a couple of schools. So it's all ages. And I suppose, you know, you look at from a parent perspective or a grandparent perspective, the big issue, as you're aware, you've talked about, is the money mule accounts. So talking about that, and young kids, my own teenagers who are now being via Snapchat and TikTok are being brought into this world where do you want to make a quick buck? And all of a sudden, these money mule accounts. And that's becoming more dangerous, because the Gardaí will talk about this tomorrow as well, that teenagers will be prosecuted and have been. We've seen in the news down in Kerry around the money mule. So it's trying to raise the level of awareness out there.
It is, because what's important about that, the Gardaí have said ignorance is not seen as a defence in that regard. And we've been talking too about people travelling and going abroad. You get done for being a money mule, even if you say, well, I didn't realise what was happening. You get
correct.
A conviction.
Yeah.
It's money laundering, effectively, and it can reflect very badly on you for a very long time. Jimmy, okay, listen, thank you very much for that. I appreciate your time.
Thanks,
as always.
Greg.
Take care of yourself. A caller says, my business page has also been hacked. I have been to the Garda twice. There's nothing that can be done. Lots of people have reported it to Facebook. They do nothing about it. And I've notes of at least a dozen people now. And maybe it's more that have reported the Maverick O'Brien Facebook page. It's the one with 1,000-odd friends on. So, listen, it might not make no difference, but it might also as well. Hiya, Rachel. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm not too bad. You were very popular on social media earlier this week, weren't you?
I was, yeah. So on Tuesday, Greg, I just want to make the listeners aware of a scam going on Facebook. On Tuesday morning, I got 12 friend requests from what was said funeral services. And it had the pictures up of local people that were deceased and their funerals were taking place. And so I clicked into the link, but I was made aware a few weeks ago about this scam, about if you click on the links that they're providing, they're asking for money to view the funeral service online. So I reported it to Facebook and blocked the senders. But just wanted to make people aware that do not click on the link for these funeral services.
Yeah, I think
there's
Rachel,
a massive scam going on.
There's something particularly nasty about these people going through obituary notices, ours or rip.io, wherever it might be, taking the picture of a deceased person that we probably know of from our community, and then using them as a scam. I've seen some, any of them are horrendous, but they don't have any conscience whatsoever. And as you say, it's a funeral services, click the link to watch the funeral. And they only need one or two people. It's not to get the $4.99 to watch it. As soon as they get your account details, they will clean you out, Rachel. It's horrible. Thank God that you have that awareness.
And even when I clicked the blocked and stuff, I still received a couple of friend requests later on that day from them, you know. So it's a very, it's preying on vulnerable people, you know. And I was actually attending the funeral of one of the pictures up, and you know, that day, and obviously, maybe from commenting and under, you know, people put under rest in peace or whatever on obituaries. So they're obviously getting like sender lists from that type of thing, you know, and it's preying on people's vulnerability.
Oh, interesting.
So it's not very nice. No.
I see what you're doing. They're actually even going into the comments to target people. Right, okay.
Hazard a guess.
No, I
Greg,
think you're right. Yeah, it makes sense.
That's what they're doing, you know.
All right, Rachel, listen,
but
thanks for the heads
up. I just want to make the public aware.
Well done to you. Thank you so much, Rachel. Really appreciate
it. All right, Greg.
Take care.
Thank
God bless
you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So that's Rachel, who, just to recap what she's talking about, we see it all too often now, and it's horrendous. But people that we know, people from our community, our region, these fraudsters will take their funeral details, they'll take their pictures, and they create these fake accounts, and they'll offer a link for you to watch the funeral, and they will seek money from you, and as soon as you enter your bank details, they'll empty your bank account out, which is incredibly regrettable. But the fact they're exploiting grief and loss is even more horrendous. And again, particularly on some of these buy and sell sites and what have you, if you see a missing child or if you see a dog that's been missing, double check it. Often it's very, very clear that it's from a fraudster's account. And what they do is, you see, if it's a missing dog or cat or something, 50 people will share that into their profile and you'll think you've done a good thing. But a few hours later, they will change that to a scam or one of these funeral notices. And what happens then is that you will appear to be part of this fraud because it will no longer be a missing dog. Now it will be a funeral service, or it will be a some other sort of a fraud. So I suppose we all have to help and keep an eye out for each other. 086 60 25,000. That is the WhatsApp and text number, and it's for anything which you that you may want to talk about or what we can help you with. Get in touch with us. We're joined on the program now by Josephine Mulhall, Director of Mulhall Contracts. Thanks so much for joining us. Josephine, I wish it were under different circumstances, but you're looking for the public's help.
We are, Greg, we are. We're just putting a bit of an appeal out. I'm sure you are all aware now, we had our trailer with cladding material and purlins on it stolen on Thursday night up at Foyle Golf up in Derry, and we're just appealing to anybody to keep an eye out and see if we can try and get this trailer back.
So tell us all the details that might help that we know in terms of the descriptions and the trailers and what was seen.
Well, the trailer was a 16-foot triaxle Toughmac trailer. There's mudguards on it. There's a very distinctive yellow 16-amp plug wired onto the back of it. The cladding then, the trailer's new. We only bought it last year. The cladding material then, it's an anthracite in colour, grey, dark grey. The sheets are about 6 metres long, and they're distinctive because they're non-drip cladding. There was also a quantity of purlins and flashings on it. This is all stuff that's specific for a job. It wouldn't be much use to anybody else for any other thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I suppose, the inconvenience and the awful, awful expense of it all.
Yeah, now the trailer's reg is listed as well, but I imagine that's been disposed of almost immediately. Those watching the show and myself here at the moment, we can see it being towed. What type of a van is that? It's obviously a white van. Do we know the make and model?
It was a Ford Transit van, a fairly, I would say, older type model. Mm. They were very professional. They were very quick. There was somebody on that site until 10 o'clock on Tuesday night. The compound was locked, and they were in and had the material stolen by 22 minutes past 10. So we're all shocked and we're devastated, but unfortunately that's the times we're living in.
Yeah, now, just to recap, I know you've said a lot of this before. It was being towed by a white transit van, which seems pretty clean, actually. It's got the black line down the side, which yes. I presume is for a sliding door, but it does make it a little bit distinctive. It's a triple axle trailer, flatbed trailer, carrying 16,000 euro worth of steel for the new extension. So this is a lot of financial loss here.
It is. Plus, okay. For the client, we're under a bit of pressure with the client too, because that's in Foyle Gulf. They're building that extension to facilitate a new trackman system, which is en route from Italy. So it all had to be up and done, roof on, ready for the new system. So now, to be fair, our supplier, Fabriclad's been very accommodating. They've tried to get us going, and everybody's very good. They've been offering trailers, and people are so kind, all the messages and the shares on Facebook. It has been very nice for us to see all that support.
Yeah, people are disgusted by it, obviously. Tuesday night, just after 10 p.m. Just remind us of the area again, just to recap some of that information. Where did this happen?
So Foyle Golf Centre is on the Alder Road. It's just over the border there. So it's follows on to the racecourse road, which would be in round the back road into Derry, round the Ballyarnet, if you turn in by Muff. So it was in around there. It was taken.
Any idea in the direction it was going? I know from the image that was captured, I'm not sure if that gives you a strong indication. We don't want to have people looking in the wrong direction either, but any idea the direction in which it may have travelled?
Yes. I think the PSNI, between the PSNI and the guards, I think they were checking, did they go via Muff or did they go on into Derry? So I think it went the other way into Derry, maybe around the back roads then and out. So there's just so many roads and so many options, but they have been very helpful, and everybody's been very good. They're keeping an eye, checking camera footage and stuff.
Yeah, brilliant
like that.
Stuff. Yeah, a reward is offered for the successful return of the trailer and steel.
Foyle Golf have offered a reward. They have,
All right, brilliant stuff. It's a Toughmax 16-foot triaxle flatbed trailer, isn't it, by the looks of it? It had a lot of stuff on the back. Any information, get it to us, we'll pass it on. Contact Mulhall Contracts directly, or the Gardaí, or the PSNI. Hopefully there's some success with that. It is a bit of a needle in a haystack, but you just never know, Josephine.
Well, thank you very much
All right,
for letting us come on.
No problem.
Okay,
have
thanks.
A good day, and I hope it's found soon.